And so we can move to Professor Antonio Morata. So Antonio is in fact in the Universitat Politecnica de Madrid. And he is also the Spanish delegate of the technology expert group in the OIV. And so I am very happy that you accept to come to talk of a new compound, a new acid, that is now possible to use since the work of the OIV. It's fumaric acid, especially to inhibit malolactic fermentation. And so we will be happy to learn about your work.
Thank you so much. I am grateful to the ICE for giving me this opportunity to show the new research we did about fumaric acid, and especially to Pierre-Louis, because he is also working in fumaric acid, and I think this molecule opened new opportunities in wine research and wine technology. Well, that is fumaric acid. You can see that it's a bicarboxylic acid with maybe better. With a double bond just in the middle that increase a lot the absorbance at ultraviolet at 280 nanometers, so it increase a lot the possibilities to be detected by ultraviolet in HPLC DAEB or spectrophotometric techniques. So it's an interesting molecule according to the structure. Well, as I said before, this molecule has been approved for the use at the OIV area by a resolution, a recent resolution, 581A in 2021. So it's just approved, and the use is to inhibit malolactic fermentation. Fumaric acid is an acid used for acidification purposes in many food products. But now it's approved also to inhibit the malolactic fermentation. Okay, if you have a look on the resolution, it's approved for this and also with the idea to reduce the level of sulfur dioxide. That has been following the opinion of Commission 2 Enology and has been included in the biological stabilization processes. Also is included in the part 2, chapter 2 of the International Code of Enological Practices. If we have a look on the objectives, the main objective of this new technology, of this new additive, is to control the growth and activity of the lactic acid bacteria. You know that many acids, many organic acids, are inhibitory against microbial microorganisms like other kind of bacteria. So we can use this technology to control the malolactic fermentation. Also, it is possible to reduce the dose of sulfur dioxide. You know, we apply sulfur dioxide to control the bacterial growth in wine. So if we don't have to control that, it's other possibility to reduce the levels of sulfur dioxide. And also preserve malic acidity. Many warm regions, we are really interested in to preserve malic acidity, especially in white wines, in rosé wines, and sparkling. We can see as year by year, the malolactic fermentations in white wines, rosé wines, and even in sparklings during the bottle fermentations starts and produce a decrease in malic acidity, and for that, they affect the taste and the flavor of these wines. Sorry. The prescription is the use of doses of 300, 600 milligrams per liter that are very low in terms of acidification, in terms of additives, but quite effective to stop, to block the malolactic fermentation, even when it's running into maltose step. Also, it is necessary that this additive, fumaric acid, fulfill the prescription of the International Enological Codex. Now, many companies are working producing this organic acid, and they try to distribute it in the market for using enology, just in the last few months. Well, how it works? Many organic acids, as fumarate, are used as antimicrobials. You know, sorbic acid, benzoic acid, many of them can work as antimicrobials. the classical mechanism to affect the viability of the bacteria is that they have an amphipathic character. So when they are not dissociated, they can diffuse across the membrane, across the cell wall membrane. And when they are inside the cell, they can be dissociated, releasing protons. These new protons affect the pH, the in-cell pH, the homeostasis, and for that, the cell has to use proton extruders, and affecting that, the energetic metabolism. So we are decreasing the pH inside the cell, and the cell, to balance that, has to extrude the protons, and this means a metabolic exhaustion. Well, but that is not probably the only mechanism in which the fumaric acid is working on, because taking into account the dissociation constants for fumaric acid is very low. So what will be expected is a lower effectivity in fumaric acid than in other organic acids. However, that is not the case. In fact, it's really, really effective. The other mechanisms that can use some bacteria, some microorganisms to be defended of these organic acids is the GAD system. The GAD systems and other acid resistant systems are able to transform some amino acids, for example glutamate in this case, to gamma aminobutyric acid. In this case, it takes a proton. So what is doing these mechanisms is removing protons from the cytosolic content. So it means that this other tool, and probably fumaric acid, can affect the effect of this enzymatic system. So there are other ways, not well known, that can affect the effectivity of fumaric acid. Well, the other interesting thing in fumaric acid is that it's part of the Krebs cycle. So when we analyze the Krebs cycle during the fermentation, this cycle during the alcoholic fermentation, this cycle doesn't work because you know we are under fermentation and it needs respiratory conditions. However, during the alcoholic fermentation, this cycle partially works in a reductive and other oxidative branch, and in this case, the fumarate can be transformed in malate. Means that fumaric acid can be transformed in malic acid during the alcoholic fermentation. This means two things. The first one is that it's not affecting to the yeast, so fumaric acid is quite effective against bacteria, but it's not affecting to the yeast. Let me come back a second. Also, many other bacteria are sensitive to fumaric acid. Not only lactic acid bacteria, Escherichia coli, Listeria, Salmonella, and many other pathogenic bacteria. But the yeast are quite stable because they are able to degrade fumaric acid, transforming this molecule in malate. So during the alcoholic fermentation, if you use fumaric acid during the alcoholic fermentation, it is possible to decrease the pH, to transform this fumaric acid in part in malic acid, so we are increasing the malic acidity, and also we have some residual fumaric acid that after the alcoholic fermentation can protect the wine for the malolactic fermentation and other bacterial developments. So it's quite interesting also this. Concerning the acidification power, it's a very strong acid. We talked about that at the last meetings in Dijon at the OIB, because I said that this resolution is approved. Fumaric acid can be used for controlling malolactic fermentation. However, it's under study for acidification at higher dose. So what is interesting, if we compare the effect of several typical acids in enology, lactic, malic, citric, and tartaric, what is interesting is when we compare the effect on pH at several doses, in this case 2.5, 5, and 7.5 millimolar, with a red wine at an initial pH of 3.6, you can see that it's much more effective than lactic or malic acid, much more, one pH decimal, but also it has a similar effect of citric acid and quite close to tartaric acid. So it's very strong, and the possibilities to control the pH by fumaric acid is really good. Also, we are using this technology in other food products. So already, this acid is being used for several food products, not in enology, but in other products. It's affected. Oh, sorry. Concerning white wine, it's a similar thing. We start with EPH, and the effect is quite similar to citric acid or tartaric acid. The effect is much stronger than lactic or malic acid. So, in terms of acidification, it's a very powerful molecule as well. And what happens concerning the antimicrobial possibilities? Well, if you have a look on this first figure, it's a typical malolactic fermentation. When I have an initial concentration of 1.6 grain per liter of malic acid, that maybe here is low, but in Spain we have this amount of malic acid in many wines. If you apply a commercial bacteria strain, like for example Alpha, in this case we use the strain Alpha of Lallemand, and using 10 to 6 cells per milliliter, in less than 12 days the malolactic fermentation can be completely finished with a very low level of malic acid and the corresponding production of lactic acid. However, when we test several concentrations of fumaric acid, even at very low concentration, 150 milligrams per liter, the malolactic fermentation is the lightest. You can see how when we apply 150 milligrams per liter, the populations decrease a lot, being lower than 10, and it needs at least 10 days, 10, 20 days to recover again, 10 to 7, and come back to produce the malolactic fermentation. So, 150 is not enough to stop the malolactic fermentation, but it's enough to delay from 12 days to more than 35. So, at very low dose, it's highly effective. However, when we use 300 or 600 milligrams per liter, that is the recommended dose at the resolution of the OIB, the initial concentration of malic acid is completely stable during more than 50 days. In this trial, but we checked during many times, so we can extend these values several months, even years. The effectivity of other organic acids also happens during the malolactic fermentation. For example, we produce the malolactic fermentation to transform malic acid in lactic acid. However, lactic acid is also other inhibitory compound on malolactic fermentation. When we have high levels of lactic acid, we can inhibit the malolactic fermentation. This now happens when the people use, for example, some new yeast like Lactantia thermotolerance for acidification. They produce a lot of lactic acid, and later it's really difficult to perform the malolactic fermentation. What you can see here is just 2 grains per liter of just 2 grains per liter of lactic acid are able to decrease the counts and to extend the malolactic fermentation again for more than 40 days. So 2 grains per liter is affecting the rate of malolactic fermentation. However, when we put 4 grains per liter, it is impossible to perform the malolactic fermentation. It's completely blocked. Okay? But the value is quite different. When we use lactic acid, we need 4 grains per liter. When we use fumaric acid, it's 300, 600 milligrams per liter. So the amount is 10 times higher. This additive is much more effective. Of course, we can use also sulfur dioxide. And you know that with sulfur dioxide, we can control as well the malolactic fermentation. Well, and the other interesting thing is that it's highly effective even when the malolactic fermentation starts. If you have a look on this slide, in figure A and B, here you have the cell counts and here the degradation of malic acid. In this case, we have an initial value of malic acid of about 2.5 grains per liter, and we start the malolactic fermentation. Just when the degradation reaches 20%, 2 grains per liter, we add fumaric acid at 600 milligrams per liter. And what happens is that the malolactic fermentation is again completely inhibited for more than 50 days. So even when the malolactic fermentation starts, we can stop it with fumaric acid. And when we use very high doses, in this case, it's a malolactic fermentation with a dose of 10 to 8 cells per milliliter, much more than what we use in a commercial malolactic fermentation. The process is very fast. We can finish the malolactic fermentation in less than 3 days. However, when we start in that conditions, the malolactic fermentation, and reach 1 gram per liter, and at this time we add fumaric acid at 600 milligrams per liter, again, the fermentation stops and remain the content of malic acid stable for more than 50 days. So it's highly effective to control the malolactic fermentation with very small amounts. The other interesting things, there is now other additive that is used to control the malolactic fermentation, that is ketosan. You know probably this product. It's a polysaccharide coming from the fungus cell wall. And it's interesting because can be used in organic viticulture, in organic enology. So this additive is also very effective. However, if you look in the dose, we need more than 0.2 grams per liter of ketosan to stop the malolactic fermentation because it can follow with 0.2 grams per liter. But when we add 0.5 grams per liter, it is possible to stop the malolactic fermentation and to keep the initial values of malic acid. Well, the idea is to see if the same results can be synergic with fumaric acid. We know that 0.3 or 0.6 grams per liter of fumaric acid are able to stop the malolactic fermentation. When we use combination of fumaric acid and ketosan, we can see that we have several values, and probably 0.1 grams per liter of ketosan is not effective, but when we use something like 0.2 grams per liter of ketosan with 0.15 or 0.3 grams per liter of fumaric acid, we can control also the malolactic fermentation. The problem of fumaric acid is that it can be used just before the bottling because it's a very insoluble molecule, and we add the ketosan, we remove the bacteria, but later the preservation effect never remains during the bottle time. So we need to put together with fumaric acid to keep this effect even during the bottling time. So both molecules can be interesting to preserve the malic acid and to protect the wines along the time, and in a synergic way, because we can reduce the dose of the ketosan and fumaric acid. Well, and what about the sensory effect? We test the sensory effect at this concentration, 300 and 600 milligrams per liter, because it's what is approved for the inhibition of malolactic fermentation. And when we did some triangular testing, that is usually used for seeing differences between wines, what we can see is that 300 milligram per liter or 600 milligram per liter are non-significant. So we are not able, well, our taste panel is not able to discriminate between wines with and without fumaric acid at this level, less or around 600 milligrams per liter. However, when we talk with the tasters and we say, oh, this glass is with fumaric acid and the other is the control, when they try to discriminate a little bit in this condition, they can see that the acidity increases a little bit, it's more acidic, and also that the body increases a little bit. They have a perception of higher volume in the mouth, so they can feel something, but they are not able to discriminate in a triangular test. So the sensory effect is very, very low, okay? Well, and when we use this technology to control malolactic fermentation in real wine, we start with Elena Adel. Elena Adel is the chief winemaker of Campo Viejo, that is one of the main wineries for Pernod Ricard Group. And we try to use this technology to control the malolactic fermentation in 12 bottles against 12 controls. And in all of them, the malolactic fermentation was controlled during a lot of time. In fact, now these bottles are also in the winery and they don't have the malolactic fermentation. And all the controls did the malolactic fermentation. So what is interesting is that controlling the malolactic fermentation is possible to keep the malic acidity, but also to reduce the volatile acidity, what is quite logical. So in many bottles, we don't have any problem. After that, in 2020, we start to use this technology in several processes, trying to use fumaric acid in spontaneous fermentations, spontaneous malolactic fermentation with the natural bacteria, but also using commercial Oenococcus oeni. And of course, it's possible to do the malolactic fermentations, of course, faster when it's with Oenococcus oeni, in something like 10 days, 12 days, but in a spontaneous way also, we finish the malolactic fermentation in about 1 month. However, when we use fumaric acid, you can see that with or without lactic acid bacteria, with inoculation of Oenococcus oeni or with the wild population, the content of malic acid is perfectly stable and finish at the same value. And also the level of volatile acidity remains really low, 0.2 grains per liter. This is with Tempranillo, red wine, using as inocula Oenococcus oeni cepa alpha, Lallemann, and the dose is 1 grain per liter of this strain. Well, also, this is other wine in the same winery, same year, in this case, 600 milligrams per liter again, and you can see how the content of malic acid is stable, with a little bit reduction when we use inoculation of lactic acid bacteria. And the spontaneous and inoculated malolactic fermentation finished really soon in less than 1 month. Again, the levels of volatile acidity remains very low if we use fumaric acid. In this case, also we did other fermentation in rosé wine. This rosé wine is from Tempranillo as well, the same dose, same strains. In this case, the spontaneous fermentation takes a lot of time. You know that it's not easy to produce the malolactic fermentation in rosé, but that happened. In this case, it was done in a longer time, but was done and finally finished with very low levels of malic acid. Of course, if we put Oenococcus oeni, the process was faster. And look, when we add fumaric acid in the control or in the inoculated wines, they have at the end pH 3.5, the initial content of malic acid, and very low volatile acidity. The same for white wines. Again, like in rosé, it takes more time than in reds because the absence of bacteria, because we don't have maceration. But you can see how the values at the end are very, very low. So it finished perfectly, the malolactic fermentation, but when we use black lines, when we use fumaric acid, at the end the pH is 3.26 and the content of malic acid remains stable during all the process. Again, the level of volatile acidity is very, very low, lower than 0.15. Well, that was done in 2020 with a lot of wines. Now we repeat these trials in 2021 with other wines and the same conditions. The first one was duplicate trials for each kind of wine. In this case, it's triplicate trials, and what we can see is the same effect. Fumaric acid is able to keep the content of malic acid, to keep stable the pH, and to keep the initial value of volatile acidity. And depending on the kind of wine, the malolactic fermentation succeed successfully in a spontaneous or with Oenococcus oeni when we don't apply fumaric acid. So again, remember, it's a good tool to control pH and volatile acidity in red wines. In this case, was the only one in which the technology was not successful, because in this case we tried to stop the malolactic fermentation in wines that had started the malolactic fermentation. So in this case, the use of fumaric acid was able to delay 1 week the malolactic fermentation, but not it never can stop. So at the end, the wine finished with very low contents of malic acid. So in this case, the technology was not enough to stop the malolactic fermentation. It's quite important to say that the pH is a little bit high and the content of malic acid is very high, and in this case the bacteria was very, very active. This is other wine, Garnacha, Grenache, with a very low initial pH, and at the end, same content of malic acid when we use fumaric acid as inhibitor, and it finished perfectly when we add Oenococcus oeni. In this variety, it was impossible to do the malolactic fermentation spontaneously. At the end, the level of acetic acid was very low. In white wines, the same results was perfectly controlled, the malolactic fermentation, with the stable values of malic acid, low pH, and low volatile acidity. In this case, we use in white wines variety Biura and again triplicate trials. The last one is Tempranillo, in this case a rosé wine, and you can see how the malolactic fermentation was completely controlled using fumaric acid with a final pH of 3.52. However, in spontaneous and inoculated malolactic fermentation, the values of volatile acidity increased a lot and were easily produced the malolactic fermentation. To resume all these results, you can see when we check all the values of these wines during 3 years, all the controls are located in this cluster at higher values of volatile acidity, reaching in average 0.5, but some of them even higher than 0.7, and always at higher pH. Remember that here we have white wines, rosé wine, red wines, of course the red wines at this extreme, and also in this part the white and rosé. But what is interesting is all of them are at higher values of volatile acidity and higher pH. However, when we apply fumaric acid, the volatile acidity is strongly controlled and the pH is very low. This other graph shows the application of higher concentrations of fumaric acid. In this case, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 grains per liter of fumaric acid. Here we can see the effect on acidification. And what you can see is that the decrease of pH when we use these amounts could be really important. The initial value is 3.7, 3.8, and we can finish at 3. So amounts of 6, 7 grains per liter of fumaric acid can decrease the pH more than half unit. So it's a lot. It's very strong, very effective. The problem is the sensory effect. Here you can see also the effect in color intensity as other acids by hyperchromic effect on anthocyanins, is possible to increase the color. And concerning the sensory perception at these high values, what we can see is that low doses, like for example 1 grain per liter, 3 grain per liter, has some effect in the aroma intensity because the taster perceives the wine with less fruitiness, with less aroma. However, the balance in mouth is really good and the fruit in mouth is really good. So this dose, 1, 2, 3 grains per liter, can be used in enology, controlling perfectly the pH and also with a good sensory balance. However, when the amount is higher of 4 grains per liter, the aroma is better, but it's very acidic. The acidity is unpleasant. You can find very crispy in mouth and so on. So higher values, of course, produce even worse results. So the suitable values in terms of acidification will be in this range, 1 to 3 grains per liter. And that is what is now being studied in the, at the OIB. And as conclusions, fumaric acid is a really interesting tool to preserve the malic acidity. We can see how it's possible to decrease the pH from 3.6 to 3.5 in red wines and from 3.3 to 3.25 in white wines. But take into account that it's just 600 milligrams per liter of fumaric acid, a very low amount, but even in that condition has some effect in pH. Also, There is a pH preservation without the malolactic fermentation because of the inhibition of malolactic fermentation, that in this case could be more than 3 decimal units. So the wines with malolactic fermentation is 3.8 and the controls with fumaric acid 3.5. Always we get lower volatile acidity for 0.45 in red wines to 0.19 with fumaric acid, 0.28 in white wines, 0.15 in white wines. We can get stable red wines without malolactic fermentation. I think this is very important. It's a power tool to improve the freshness in warm areas concerning the global warming and the climate change. It's a really interesting tool and a really good opportunity to decrease to increase the acidity, to decrease the pH and make more stable wines. Of course, the physicochemical and microbial stability is really better, and there is other interesting opportunities, for example, in sparkling wines, because we can ferment in bottle because it's not affecting to the second bottle fermentation, and at the same time we can control the development of malolactic fermentation in bottles. So we have all these possibilities. And as a last conclusion, I would like to do a disruptive question. Why not red wines without malolactic fermentation? Maybe some, we are doing that during many years, but maybe for some red wines could be a new strategy. Because, you know, sometimes when we do the malolactic fermentation in warm areas, the sensory profile decreases, the wine is flat. Maybe it could be a good or an interesting option in this kind of wines to keep them stable with fumaric acid in bottle and with the initial content of malic acid. I don't know what do you think about that. I know that it's a disruptive idea. You know that all the knowledge are worried about the contents of malic acid in bottle, but with this technology it's possible to control that. Many thanks. And I am available for whatever question. And thank you so much for your attention and for this opportunity.
Thank you very much. It was a very interesting approach. So for the question concerning red wine and the malolactic fermentation, maybe yes, maybe not. Of course, it depends probably about the place and the level of acidity you need, in fact, in the wine. Maybe in some place where you need acidity because there is a lot of combustion and you lose during the summer or you don't have enough, maybe, why not? Maybe in some other, it's not necessary, so what? There is, of course, probably some discussion and advice in the room. Question for Antonio. Tina.
Thank you very much for your presentation. It was very interesting. I would like to ask you if you have checked how the decrease in pH increases actually the molecular sulfur dioxide or the free sulfur dioxide, because this action is also very useful.
You are completely true. This is one of the advantages of this technique. We have lower pH, so the molecular sulfur dioxide is higher and it keeps at higher levels during the bottle period. So it's other way to promote the effectivity of sulfur dioxide. For that, at the beginning I said, and also is included in the resolution, that is an interesting technique to reduce sulfur dioxide.
It's actually an indirect way to increase its effective form, not to reduce, but exactly, to increase its effective form.
You are totally true. It's other advantages. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. Mm-hmm. I have two questions. The first, perhaps I misinformation. What is the normal concentration of fumaric acid in wines?
The normal concentration of wine is really variable. In Spain, normally around 2-2.5, but in other countries, you know, and white varieties could be 4-5, and in Albariño sometimes more than 5. But
milligram?
For red wines could be 2-3. Mm-hmm. Grains per liter.
And did you observe, because I studied this compound, I mean, a long time ago, This compound is known to be a good marker of microbial spoilage in apple juice. Did you observe some link between microbial spoilage, in grapes and wines?
Well, in fact, we apply this technology to inhibit bacteria. So, of course, you said that fumaric acid is a compound that can be produced by the bacteria when they grow in bottle. But in this case, we try to remove this bacteria using before. So, in this condition, we cannot see this effect.
My last question, what is the stability of this compound?
Well, we have some of this bottle during more than 1 year, and no problem. Because the only problem is if you are using in mass. If you are using in mass, the yeast can degrade it, and depending on the strain, depending on the population, depending on several factors, the concentration can decrease, and maybe after the alcoholic fermentation could be low. It depends. So in this case, can be interesting only if it's affected the use as acid with concentration of 1, 2, or 3 grains per liter. But if you put 600 milligrams per liter before fermentation in the mass, probably at the end you cannot find anything or very low levels. So when you use fumaric acid in bottle to stop the malolactic fermentation, when the alcoholic fermentation is finished, the values are stable, and you can have these wines during 1 year or more even. We have the bottles of 2018. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tiziana?
Thank you for an interesting presentation. I have a question. Did you evaluate the formation of fumaric acid esters during bottle aging, eventually by adding after alcoholic fermentation?
We didn't measure that, but it's of course possible. You know, fumarate is the anion and can be produced esterification of this acid, of course, with ethanol and with other alcohols. But we didn't measure these compounds. It's other interesting thing. What I can say is at this dose, you cannot see any sensory difference in the aromatic profile. So it means that if they are formed, that of course they will be formed, the
sensory
impact active. Is very low.
Okay, thank you.
Time for last question. Okay, thank you for the interesting, instructive presentation. I was wondering if you have ever studied the impact on lactic acid bacteria from other species than Enococcus, and also regarding acetic acid bacteria.
Not concerning acetic acid bacteria, and I'm not sure about some specific species like Lactobacillus plantarum because they never were tried. However, we did a lot of spontaneous fermentation, so many strains of Oenococcus oeni are controlled by this technology. But I don't know if Lactobacillus plantarum, for example, I think your question is on that way, but it's an interesting question and should be tried. It's a good idea. Mm-hmm. And concerning acetic acid bacteria, I'm not sure about that, but what I have seen is that it's very effective against Escherichia coli, Listeria monocytogenes, Salmonella, so there are a lot of bacteria that are sensitive, so probably will be effective, but I don't have the experience on that. Other interesting thing to check. Well, I said that yeast are not affected.
At all?
We have experience with Saccharomyces, and I know that other people is working with Torula spora del Bruque, not with Brettanomyces, but I understand that the result can be similar. However, the main difference is that Brettanomyces grows when the wine is fermented and in the same conditions that lactic acid bacteria. Maybe it would be a little bit different. I'm not completely sure about that. It's another interesting thing to check. But I think that fumaric acid is not going to affect retinomyces. It's my personal feeling, but we have to check.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, we to complete maybe, we had in because we have also a PhD in my lab with Monica Christman. It's a co-direction with Geisenheim. And we have some preliminary data concerning bretanomyces showing that it's very, very slight effect. So, well, let's see the function of the strain, of course.
But if you reduce the amount of SO2 because you use fumaric acid, isn't the risk of bretanomyces spoils in bottle not becoming bigger? Sort of in that,
of course.
Open the door for bretanomyces.
Of course.
Close the door for lactic bacteria, and you open the door for bretanomyces.
Totally agree with you. If you are reducing sulfur dioxide because you don't need sulfur dioxide to control malolactic fermentation, you can suffer other risks. But you know, there are other ways to control bretanomyces, and could be a problem with this technology as well. Yeah, I agree with you. It's a good idea.
Some more questions? Benjamin?
Yeah, thank you. It looks like a striking set of results we have here, and that's nice. It was approved through the OID. I got to confess that when I see new inputs for the wine adapted by the OID, I'm always scared because I'm saying, we know the trouble has the OID defending the specificity of wine and trying to avoid the Codex Alimentarius pushing for putting more additives in the wine and take it specific. But here, it seems that it is a great alternative also to tartaric acid to provide perhaps less input of SH2 in the wine, and also to adapt to climate condition in very warm areas. So it's very promising. I got a practical question though. Is it more expensive than tartaric acid? And second question, could you use it in replacement? And I got to say that I'm not an analogist, so sorry about the question.
I'm not sure about the price, but I know that the product is growing a lot in the market, A lot of providers are producing fumaric acid and selling in the market. So my opinion is that it's more cheaper than tartaric acid.
So, you replacement
of well, could be an opportunity. Imagine that now it's not allowed, but imagine that in a few years they accept this technology and you can put 2 grains per liter of fumaric acid, and after this acidification the pH is 3.4 instead 3.6. Why not? You get the same effect. And what I would like to say with this additive is to inhibit the malolactic fermentation, we use a natural product. In fact, well, you know the origin of fumaric acid, the industrial fumaric acid, I don't know where is, but in fact this molecule is coming from wines because it's produced during bacteria and yeast fermentation. So we are not talking about a very strange or difficult molecule. It's a natural molecule that happens in wine, and at the same time it's a molecule that is much more stable than other acid we are using. So why not? It's a new tool, and I think it's a new opportunity.
Yes, I can confirm what said Antonio, and the possibility to have maybe fumaric acid also for acidification is on the table. We are working on it, and if it is accepted, we know actually that to decrease the pH, you need less quantity of fumaric acid, and it's at least 1/3 less than tartaric acid. That's also one of the good points. Probably in favor of this molecule.
And the interesting thing, you know that many times we use tartaric acid, and when we are doing in fat is to put in tartaric acid on the tank and precipitate. So we are affecting more the acidity than the pH sometimes. So fumaric acid is insoluble, but at the concentration we are talking is enough soluble and more stable than tartaric acid. This is other advantage. Mm-hmm.
Some more question? No? Okay, in this case, we are finished. So thank you very much, Antonio.